Welcome back. This is Chapter 3, The Escape. The barn was very large. It was very old, and it smelled of hay and it smelled of manure. It smelled of the perspiration of tired horses and the wonderful sweet breath of patient cows. It often had a sort of peaceful smell, as though nothing bad could ever happen in the world. It smelled of grain and of harness dressing and of axle grease and of rubber boots and of new rope. And whenever the cat was given a fresh head to eat, fish head, sorry, the barn would smell of fish. But mostly it smelled of hay, for there was always hay in the great loft overhead, and there was always hay being pitched down to the cows and the horses and the sheep. The barn was pleasantly warm in winter, when the animals spent most of their time indoors, and it was pleasantly cool in summer when the big doors stood wide open to the breeze. The barn had stalls on the main floor for the workhorses, tie-ups on the main floor for the cows, a sheepfold down below for the sheep, a pig pen down below for Wilbur, and it was full of all sorts of things that you might find in barns. Ladders, grindstones, pitchforks, monkey wrenches, scythes, lawn mowers, snow shovels, axe handles, milk pails, water buckets, empty grain sacks and rusty rat traps. It was the kind of barn that swallows like to build their nests in. It was the kind of barn that children like to play in. And the whole thing was owned by Fern's uncle, Mr. Homer L. Zuckerman. Wilbur's new home was in the lower part of the barn, directly underneath the cows. Mr. Zuckerman knew that a manure pile is a good place to keep a young pig. Pigs need warmth, and it was warm and comfortable down there in the barn cellar on the south side. Fern came almost every day to visit him. She found him an old milking stool that had been discarded, and she placed the stool in the sheepfold next to Wilbur's pen. Here she sat quietly during the long afternoons, thinking and listening and watching Wilbur. The sheep soon got to know her and trust her. So did the geese who lived with the sheep. All the animals trusted her. She was so quiet and friendly. Mr. Zuckerman did not allow her to take Wilbur out, and he did not allow her to get in to the pig pen. But he told Fern that she could sit on the stool and watch Wilbur as long as she wanted to. It made her happy just to be near the pig. And it made Wilbur happy to know that she was sitting there right outside his pen. But he never had any fun. No walks, no rides, no swims. One afternoon in June, when Wilbur was almost 2 months old, he wandered out into his small yard outside the barn. Fern had not arrived for her usual visit. Wilbur stood in the sun, feeling lonely and bored. "There's never anything to do around here," he thought, and he walked slowly to his food trough and sniffed to see if anything had been overlooked at lunch. He found a small strip of potato skin and ate it. His back itched, so he leaned against the fence and rubbed against the boards. When he was tired of this, he walked indoors, climbed to the top of the manure pile, and sat down. He didn't feel like going to sleep. He didn't feel like digging. And he was tired of standing still, tired of lying down. "I'm less than 2 months old and I'm tired of living," he said. And he walked out to the yard again. "When I'm out here," he said, "there's no place to go but in. And when I'm indoors, there's no place to go but out into the yard." "That's where you're wrong, my friend," said a voice. Wilbur looked through the fence. and saw the goose standing there. "You don't have to stay in that dirty little yard," said the goose, who talked rather quickly. "One of those boards is loose. Push on it, push, push, push on it, and come on out."
"What?"
said Wilbur.
"What? Say it again."
"At the risk of repeating myself," said the goose, "I suggest that you come on out. It's wonderful out here."
"Did you say a board was loose?"
That I did, said the goose.
Wilbur walked up to the fence and saw that the goose was right. One board was loose. And he put his head down, shut his eyes and pushed. The board gave way. In a minute he'd squeezed through the fence and was standing in the long grass outside his yard.
And the goose was chuckling. "How does it feel to be free?" she asked.
"Oh, I like it," said Wilbur. "That is, I guess I like it."
Actually, Wilbur felt quite queer to be outside his fence and nothing between him and the big wide world.
"Where do you think I'd better go?"
"Anywhere you like, anywhere you like," said the goose. "Go down through the orchard, root up the sod, go down through the garden, dig up the radishes, root up everything, eat grass, look for corn, look for oats, roll all over, skip and dance, jump and prance, go down through the orchard and stroll in the woods. The world is a wonderful place when you're young."
"I can see that," Wilbur replied,
and he gave a jump in the air, twirled, ran a few steps, stopped, looked all around, sniffed the smells of the afternoon, and then set off walking down through the orchard. Pausing in the shade of an apple tree, he put his strong snout into the ground and began pushing, digging, rooting. Oh, he felt very happy. He'd ploughed up quite a piece of ground before anybody had noticed him. Mrs. Zuckerman was the first to see him. She saw him from the kitchen window and she immediately shouted for the men.
"Homer!" she cried. "Pigs out! Lovey! Pigs out! Homer! Lovey! Pigs out!
He's down there under the apple tree." "Now the trouble starts," thought Wilbur. "Now I'll catch it." The goose heard the racket and she too started hollering, "Run, run, run down the hill! Make for the woods! Run, run to the woods!" she shouted to Wilbur. "They'll never, never catch you in the woods!" The cocker spaniel heard the commotion and he ran out from the barn to join the chase. Mr. Zuckerman heard and he came out of the machine shed where he was mending a tool. Lurvy, the hired man, heard the noise and came up from the asparagus patch where he was pulling weeds. Everybody walked towards Wilbur, and Wilbur didn't know what to do. The woods seemed a long way off, and anyway, he had never been down into the woods, and he wasn't sure if he would like it or not. "Get around behind him, Lurvy," said Mr. Zuckerman, "and drive him towards the barn, and take it easy, don't rush him, and I'll go back and get a bucket of slops." The news of Wilbur's escape spread rapidly among the animals on the place. Whenever any creature broke loose on the Zuckerman's farm, the event was full of interest to all the others. The goose shouted to the nearest cow that Wilbur was free, and soon all of the cows knew. Then one of the cows told one of the sheep, and soon all of the sheep knew. The lambs learnt about it from their mothers. The horses in their stalls in the barn pricked up their ears when they heard the goose hollering, and soon the horses had caught on as to what was happening.
"Wilbur's out," they said.
Every animal stirred and lifted its head and became excited to know that one of their friends had got free and was no longer penned up or tied fast. Wilbur didn't know what to do or which way to run. It seemed as though everybody was after him. "If this is what it's like to be free," he thought, "I believe I'd rather be penned up in my own yard."
The Cocker Spaniel was sneaking up on him from one side. Lurvy, the hired man, was sneaking up on him from the other side. Mrs. Zuckerman stood ready to head him off as he started for the garden, and now Mr. Zuckerman was coming down towards him carrying a pail.
"This is really awful," thought Wilbur. "Why doesn't Fern come?"
And he began to cry. The goose took command and began to give orders.
"Don't just stand there, Wilbur. Dodge about," cried the goose. "Skip around, run towards me, slip in and out, in and out, in and out, make for the woods, twist and turn."
The Cocker Spaniel sprang for Wilbur's hind leg.
Wilbur jumped and ran.
Lurvy reached out and grabbed. Mrs. Zuckerman screamed. The goose cheered for Wilbur. Wilbur dodged between Lurvy's legs, and Lurvy missed Wilbur and grabbed the spaniel instead.
"Nicely done, nicely done," cried the goose. "Try it again, try it again."
"Run downhill," suggested the cows.
"Run towards me," yelled the gander.
"Run uphill," cried the sheep.
"Turn and twist," honked the goose.
"Jump and dance," said the rooster.
"Look out for Lurvy," called the cows.
"Look out for Zuckerman," yelled the gander.
"Watch out for the dog," cried the sheep.
"Listen to me, listen to me," screamed the goose.
Poor Wilbur was dazed and frightened by this hullabaloo. He didn't like being the centre of all this fuss. He tried to follow the instructions his friends were giving him, but he couldn't run downhill and uphill at the same time, and he couldn't turn and twist when he was jumping and dancing. Oh, and he was crying so hard he could barely see anything that was happening. After all, Wilbur was a very young pig, not much more than a baby, really. He wished Fern were there to take him in her arms and comfort him. When he looked up and saw Mr. Zuckerman standing quite close to him, holding a pail of warm slops, he felt relieved, and he lifted his nose and sniffed.
Oh, the smell was delicious. Warm milk, potato skins, wheat middlings, Kellogg's cornflakes, and a popover left from the Zuckerman's breakfast.
"Come on, pig," said Mr. Zuckerman, tapping the pail.
"Come, pig."
Wilbur took a step towards the pail.
"No, no, 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 no," said the goose. "It's the old pail trick, Wilbur. Don't fall for it, don't fall for it. He's trying to lure you back into captivity.
He's appealing to your stomach."
Wilbur didn't care. The food smelled appetizing, and he took another step towards the pail.
"Pig! Pig!"
said Mr. Zuckerman in a kind voice, and began walking slowly toward the barnyard, looking at him innocently, as if he didn't know that a little white pig was following along behind him.
"You'll be sorry, sorry, sorry," called the goose.
Wilbur didn't care, and he kept walking towards the pail of slops.
"You'll miss your freedom," honked the goose.
"An hour of freedom is worth a barrel of slops." Wilbur didn't care. When Mr. Zuckerman reached the pig pen, he climbed over the fence and poured the slops into the trough. And then he pulled the loose board away from the fence, so there was a wide hole for Wilbur to walk through.
"Reconsider, reconsider," cried the goose.
Wilbur paid no attention. He stepped through the fence into his yard, and he walked to the trough and took a long drink of slops, sucking in the milk hungrily and chewing the popover. Oh, it was good to be home again. Wilbur ate. Lurvy fetched a hammer and some 8-penny nails and nailed the board in place. Then he and Mr. Zuckerman leaned lazily on the fence, and Mr. Zuckerman scratched Wilbur's back with a stick.
"He's quite a pig," said Lurvy.
"Yes, he'll make a good pig," said Mr. Zuckerman. Wilbur heard the words of praise, and he felt the warm milk inside his stomach, and he felt the pleasant rubbing of the stick along his itchy back. He felt peaceful and happy and sleepy. This had been a tiring afternoon, and it was still only about 4 o'clock, but Wilbur was ready for bed. "I'm really too young to go out in the world alone," he thought as he lay down for a snooze. See you again soon.